Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Again, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. And it reads, "But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire."
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be back. We had a wonderful time there in Atlanta. Things went very well, and we are appreciative of all those who were able to be a part of that lectureship retreat. We just had a wonderful time, and I believe that we were strengthened in the process. But as much as those of us who did go to Atlanta, we know it's also necessary that the work goes on here. So we appreciate those who stayed behind and made sure the things were taken care of on this side. We appreciate that, and we know the things went well. We certainly are thankful for all the capable men that we have here who can stand in and preach the word of God. And we're thankful for you, for your encouragement of those men, as well as for myself. And we're just delighted to be back. We hope we can say something today that will help you, though it may sound a little strange today, seeing that we're going to be trying to find out if you're a fool. But nevertheless, you know, when I think about Christ and I think about Christianity, I think about the church, I think about, why are we here? Why have you come to the Lord? Why have you come to the church? You know, people don't come to Christ because they got it all together. People come to Christ so they can get it together. And if we had it together before Christ, then there was no need for Christ. We came because we were in sin. We came because we were in trouble. We came because we had lost our way. We had lost our direction. And the Lord has provided for all those things that we lost. And so we came, and we have improved, and we continuously improve. Now, one of the things that is the most difficult, probably one of the most difficult things by which we improve, is this tongue. Sometimes we misuse this tongue. And this tongue is a dangerous thing. James describes it in James chapter 3 as he deals with the tongue. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And so we know that there are times when people can hurt other people with their words. There are folks who are in prison right now based on false testimony. And so sometimes lives have been ruined. There are folks who have actually cost them their lives, who have cost themselves their lives because of some things that they were saying. They were talking so much, and someone responded to their talking, and it cost them their lives. So death and life are truly in the power of the tongue. We ought to be careful about the things that we say. Man should be extremely careful in what comes out of his mouth. In fact, this morning we will note for a topic, vile food. And one of the things that we ought to be careful about is that word food. Extremely careful in saying thou fool. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and notice verse number 22. You heard it in your scripture reading. Let's read it now for us.
Mm-hmm. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire."
Now, Raka is one of those scornful words that comes from pride. So what Jesus is doing is he is condemning a certain condition of the heart. And whenever something proceeds from anger and malice within and aims at no good end, it is sin. Now, question to you is, have you ever said anything out of anger?
Yes.
Have you ever said anything and then after it got out of your mouth, you felt very ashamed that you had said such a thing? Amen. Have you ever said something to a loved one that you wish you had not said? Amen. We have all spoken regrettable words, and sometimes it came from a place from within that was nothing good. It came from malice. It came from anger. And sometimes we even attempt to justify what we have said based on that feeling or emotion called anger. Well, I only said that to you because I was angry, because I was mad, because you made me mad. And then we justify saying certain things. But see, the ends does not justify the means. And so we are still wrong in order to say those things. And that's what Jesus is dealing with. He is dealing with people who actually lift themselves up in pride and think that they can look down on someone else and then out of a place of malice and anger use a derogatory term. Anytime we do that, it's sin, my friends. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to say, if I offended you. You sin. Amen. It's sin. Sometimes we don't know when we sin. And we say, well, if I offended you, no, you said something derogatory toward me, and you came from a place of malice or envy or anger, my friends, you have sinned. So Jesus is actually dealing with a condition of the heart that is sinful. And anytime one lifts himself up to a position of superiority over someone else and then uses a term that demeans that individual, it is, forever will be, always has been, sin. Amen. Such is the case with the use of thou fool. You see, when we use this term, thou fool, this is what Jesus is condemning. Now, some folks believe that, you know what? You can't call anyone a fool at any time, anywhere. I beg to differ. But because of passages like this, people begin to believe that you can't call me a fool. Well, I like to look at it the same way we look at judging. There are folks who are fond of saying that you can't judge. You ever heard that? You ever try to tell somebody what's right because they were doing something that's wrong, and then they say, well, you're not supposed to judge me. You're not supposed to judge based on Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. And so people then know these passages and they begin to believe that you can't judge. Well, can you? Or should I say, can't you? You mean you can't judge? Well, my friends, listen. You are judged. You are already presently judged. You know John 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, many folks know that passage. Do you know the one that follows it? Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, that word condemned is the Greek word krino. And it means to distinguish or to decide mentally or judicially. To try, to judge, to call into question. Now, the world was already condemned. It was already judged. It was already tried. It was already called into question, if you will. And God had found that the world was lost. You see, when God put forth all the evidence, the world could not stand up under God's condemnation or God's judgment. In other words, he did not have to come to send his Son to judge the world or condemn the world because it was already judged. It was already condemned. It had already been called into question and had failed the test. And so therefore, God sent his Son into the world to save the world. Now, the means were provided for its salvation. And it was words that was given by Jehovah whereby he would save the world. That's why when Peter went to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 11, 14, the angel said to Cornelius, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house may be saved? So God sent forth a message in order to save the world that was already condemned. Now, those same words can either save an individual if they will adhere to them, or they can condemn an individual if they will reject them. So those same words are the words by which we are judged. So in John 12, 48, Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. My friend, the fact that you believe no one can judge you does not mean you are not already judged. Some people believe as if they can sin with impunity because they can say, you can't judge me. So the fact that you believe I can't judge you does not mean that you're not judged. My friends, you're still judged. The same word that's judging me is judging you. Whether you accept it or reject it is up to you, but it still judges you. And one day you have to stand before the supreme judge and give an account of those things that you've done in this body. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. Now, by the same token, people say, you cannot call me a fool, because the Bible says you are not to call a man a fool. Jesus condemns it in Matthew 5:22. So therefore, you can't call me a fool. My friends, listen. The fact that I should not call you a fool, and I believe you've misunderstood that as well, but the fact that I should not call you a fool does not mean that you're not a fool. You appreciate that? Because for some reason we believe if you can't call me a fool, then I'm not a fool. No, I may not be able to call you a fool. There may be instances where I should never call a man a fool. But it does not mean that that man is not a fool. Why? Let me show you. Let me tell you something. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 20, in Matthew 5:22, Jesus says, if you call that man a fool, you'll be in danger of hell fire. Now, that's Gehenna hell. So that kind of attitude, coming from that place of superiority, coming from that place of anger, coming from that place of malice that leads to no good end, that thinks you can make derogatory remarks towards someone else by putting them down and demeaning them, that is always sinful. And the individual who engages in those kind of things are heading straight for Gehenna hell. But God in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 20 says, thou fool, to a man. So maybe we ought not to be so concerned as to whether or not someone can refer to us as fools, and be more concerned as to whether or not I am fitting the description given in God's word that calls me a fool. Because my friend, if God calls you a fool, then you're a fool. I may never call you a fool, but the fact remains, you may be a fool based on God's description of a fool. Now listen, this is not the sermon where you think about who should have been here. Amen. Boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear. No, you hear this. Let's not have so-and-so here to hear this. Let's examine ourselves, because what I want to avoid is being a fool in God's word. Let me show you different types of fools. The first fool we will notice is an atheistic fool. Now see, the way I like to think about this fool, this idea of a fool, is that life is like a drama, right? Just imagine life like a play, and we're going to play out this drama called life. And you know, while we're playing out this life, you get to act out a particular role. And yet there's a role for a fool, and you know, some folks are going to willingly go over and pick up that role, and that's the role they're going to play in life. And since there are fools in this life, then we have to be careful as to how we deal with them. Before I go there, look at Proverbs chapter 26. Notice Proverbs chapter 26, and then we'll get to this atheistic fool. Proverbs 26, and notice verse number 4 and verse number 5.
Answer not a fool according to his folly.
Now notice, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest what?
Lest thou also be like unto him.
Lest thou also be like unto him. Read. Now, I want you to pay attention to that, to those words, be like. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like. That is translated from a Hebrew word, shava. And what that means is, it means to level, to equalize, to resemble, to adjust. Now, think about what that's saying. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be on his level. No good. Lest you also be equal unto him. Lest you also resemble that fool. Lest you also adjust to that fool. Let me ask you a question. If you were coming down the street and you came across this scene, and you notice there was a gate between a man and a dog, and the man was down on all fours, and he and that dog were just growling and barking at each other, which one would surprise you? Which one would surprise you? Would you be surprised at the dog? I mean, because I can imagine that man walking by the gate, and the dog came running to the gate and roaring, you know, growling at him and barking at him. And then this man decides to get down. They both foaming at the mouth, growling and barking at each other. And you come across that scene. I'll tell you what, I'm not surprised at the dog. But wouldn't you be surprised at the man? Absolutely. You know what the man had to do in order to be down there with that dog? He had to adjust. He had to bring himself down on the dog's level. And now he's resembling the dog. He's equal to the dog. He's on the level of the dog. Now take two members of the Lord's church fighting and quarreling. One is a spiritual brother or sister, always taking care of their business, well known in the congregation for being a part of all that the church is trying to accomplish, always helping others, just a model of Christianity and strength under control. And then there's a well-known troublemaker that's always stirring stuff up. And if you were to come across them and they both arguing and fighting like cats and dogs, which one would surprise you more? The troublemaker? Or the one who is known to be a spiritual individual exercising strength under control? Which one would surprise you more? Certainly, that spiritual brother or sister that is a model of Christianity, that's always doing the right thing, would surprise you. Why? Because we would not be surprised at the well-known troublemaker who's always starting trouble, who's always doing things, who's always keeping stuff going, who have never seen an argument they didn't like. We would not be surprised at that brother or sister. That's what they do. That's where they live. What we'd want to know is what you're doing down there. Wouldn't we? He says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be on his level, resemble him, adjust to him, lest I also be like unto him. Well, my friends, listen. There's an instance in Scripture where the Apostle Paul actually had to take the advice of Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 4 and 5. And boy, did he do it well. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Jewish Talmud says that verse 4 pertained to foolish comments that could be ignored. And verse 5 pertains to erroneous idea that must be corrected. There are times when you need to correct fools in their folly, and there are times when you need to ignore them. We need to know when to say when dealing with the various types of fools. Now, here's a thing that I think you ought to pay attention to. Because as we live in this life, we have to deal with fools. Not because they believe they're fools, but because the Bible describes them as fools, and that's what they are. Now, what you have to do as a matter of faith is you have to learn to identify fools according to the scriptures and then do what the scriptures tell you to do in reference to those fools. Amen. That's how we walk and live by faith. See, I know that if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's a duck. If you are doing the very things in Scripture that says you are a fool, and you're constantly giving over to foolish behavior, and you're doing these things, and you look like a fool, you walk like a fool, you act like a fool, you're a fool. Now, what I have to do is go in Scripture and identify what type of fool you are, and then get God's wisdom on how to deal with that fool. So in Proverbs 26 says, answer some fools according to their folly, lest they be wise in their own conceit. But sometimes you have to answer not a fool according to a folly, lest I also be like unto him. So there are some behaviors that you engage in, my friends, that I cannot afford to allow you to pull me down on your level, because it's not going to look good. Then I have no better excuse than you for being on the level of a fool. So that takes care of all those folks that, well, you started it. Yes, when you were in grade school, we supposed to grow up. Amen. But now we're still saying at 40, well, she started it. Well, boy, do we have a problem. Am I going to lose my PowerPoint all day? Okay. Boy, that's bad. You know, I worked a long time. There's nothing we can do about this? It's the projector. All right. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice with me verse number 16 through 18 as Paul takes the advice of the proverb writer in chapter 26, 4 and 5. And he answers some fools according to the folly. Read for me if you will.
I say again, let no man think me a fool.
This is verse 16. I say again, he said, let no man think me a what?
A fool.
A fool, read.
If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little.
Uh-huh. Why? Paul says, I speak it not after the Lord. Why? Because the Lord, this is not the attitude of the Lord. The Lord never defended himself this way. Self-praise does not come from the Lord. So what Paul is about to enter into here is something that he's dealing with based on the Corinthians to try to pull them back to the right way. Why? Because they believe, they are basing everything based on the material, based on the physical. And Paul is trying to show them that they should be looking more on the spiritual things, but they are receiving these worldly teachers, these Judaizing teachers that's coming in among them, and the Judaizing teachers are boasting in their flesh. Well, I'm a child of Abraham. I'm of pure blood. And as a result of that, I got this, and I got these, and I got all these credentials and things of that nature. And so here they are, glorying in their flesh about all the things they bring to the table. Doesn't that sound familiar today? Turn on the television and listen to those preachers. What are they doing? Glorying in their flesh, right? How much money they got and all this kind of stuff? Well, this is the kind of stuff they were doing. And so Paul says, you know what? It's foolishness, but I'll tell you what. Since you receive these foolish folks so well, why don't you let me glory a little bit? And let's just see. I'll go ahead and step down on your level, and we'll just check credentials and see if I measure up to them, even physically. And so Paul goes about and gives his list of things he's done, plus all those things that he suffered for the gospel. But he says, this is not after Christ. Christ don't teach anyone to self-praise, to praise himself and lift themselves up by their own bootstraps. That's not what Christ is about. So anytime you start talking about how good you are, how great you are, and how honored people should be, one man shook my hand one day and said, you know, it's an honor for you to meet me. Now, he was playing. He was joking, but it was funny. You know, it's that kind of idea. You know, oh boy, I'm sure glad you met me. You know, aren't you glad? Aren't you better for that? But notice what Paul says in verse number 19.
Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise.
Seeing that you are wise, you suffer fools. Does that not sound exactly what he's saying in Proverbs 26:4 when he says, except that lest they be wise in their own conceits. That's exactly what they were. They were wise in their own conceits. And Paul is going to answer them according to their folly. So my friend, here's an instance where Paul, trying to pull them back to the right way, has to step down on their level and say, okay, I'll just go ahead and go with you then. But let me tell you something. It's still foolish. So Paul says, 2 Corinthians 11:1, he says they were going to forgive him if he boasted a little bit in his folly. And now he picks back up the discussion again in verse number 16 and then says, okay, let me boast a little bit in my folly. Let me answer you according to your own conceits. And he did that. I believe when they got through checking the credentials, the Apostle Paul certainly measured up, even though that's not exactly what Paul wanted them to understand regarding them needing to be with Christ. Listen, let's note some categories of these fools. First of all, there's the atheistic fool. Look at Psalm chapter 14 and notice verse number 1. Psalm 14 and verse number 1.
The fool has said in his heart.
The fool. That is the word Nabal. We are accustomed to saying Nabal, but actually it's actually pronounced Nabal. Okay, so the fool, the Nabal, it literally means stupid and wicked and especially impious. The fool has said in his heart,
there is no God.
Read.
They are corrupt.
Uh-huh.
They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good.
Now let me show you. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 25, and you will notice a man named Nabal here and where this originated from. 1 Samuel 25 and verse number 25. Notice what Nabal's wife had to say about him.
Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of
Now, we would say today in modern day vernacular, noble is his name and folly is his gain. She said noble is his name and folly is with him. In other words, he is morally wicked. When David showed him kindness, David is upset. David is coming to take care of that whole people. Why? Because noble returned him evil for his kindness. And she then comes to keep David from coming spilling blood and says, you know what? My husband is a man of Belial. He is a wicked man. Noble is his name. And that is the word fool for those who believe that there is no God. What kind of person is this? It is the type of person who thinks he's right in everything he does and feels he has no need to ask anyone else for advice. You ever seen anybody like that? Ladies, you ever been with your husband traveling somewhere and you're lost? And he act like he don't know it? And you used to say, now before we had all these devices, sisters would say, hey, why don't you pull over? And I don't know what, though. Then after they turn a few corners for 300-400 miles in the wrong direction and turn in circles, finally they get to the gas station and ask somebody and find out they got to go back the other way. Oh boy, I've heard some sisters tell me about being lost, and that man just would not ask for directions. Just didn't want to give in to the fact that he might be wrong. Well, hopefully that doesn't make us total fools. But nevertheless, this type of person thinks he's right in everything he does, and he asks no one for advice. He is morally insensitive and impious. Since this fool cannot be sure that there is a God, he is willing to think that there is none. Why? Simply because he can't be sure about it. He can't prove it by physical things. And because he can't touch him, because he can't see him with the naked eye, he then would rather believe that there is no God. So he lives his life as if there is no God. My friends, it's interesting today, but you know there are Christians who do the same thing. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16. Titus 1 and verse number 16. Now listen, I have a lot to cover, and we'll have to cover it, you know, obviously this morning and tonight. But if it gets to the point where I can't even cover this morning, that's all right. We'll make it three-part. It doesn't matter. I don't want to keep you here all day. Titus 1, 16, how does that read?
They profess that they know God.
They profess that they know God.
But in works, they deny him.
In works, they deny him. Now, that's all I want. Listen. I was looking on the internet and I was looking for atheists. And boy, did I come across all of these Hollywood A-lister actors who are atheists. I was shocked. I mean, wow. I was shocked. And then I went on to research a little bit and read some of their comments as to why they were atheists and things of that nature. But one stood out for me. There was quite a few, but one stood out for me. One guy says, Hollywood A-lister actor, he said, I don't believe there is a God, but I try to live my life as if there was one watching me. Did you catch that? I don't believe there is a God, but apparently he knows about the concept of God and what religion says about God and God's watching and all this kind of thing. So he says, I don't believe there is a God, but I try to live my life so that if there was one, as if he was watching me. So I guess that means he's going to try to do good moral things and all that kind of thing. Okay. Maybe not as bad as it sounds, but it's still going to get him in hell. But then I think about some of those who do believe in God. And there are people who believe in God, but they live as if he's not watching. I don't know which is worse, but I think both are going to end up in the same place. So Titus 1:16 says, you know what? They profess that they know God. They have a knowledge of God. But as Paul says about the Jews, but not according to knowledge, Romans chapter 10. And then they have a knowledge of God. They acknowledge that there is a God, but they live in their works and practical lifestyle. They deny that there is a God. Now, Proverbs 15:3, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. My friends, God sees But there are some folks that act as if he doesn't. Wow. The atheistic fool. What about them? You know, in 2 Samuel 3:33, there was a man named Abner. I don't know if you remember Abner. Abner was lamented by David after he was killed by Joab because he had killed Joab's brother Abishai. And you know, Abner, the Bible says, why died Abner like a fool died? Like a Nabal. Now, Nabal is this wicked, impious individual, and he certainly should die that kind of death. But this prince of a man that David mourned over, and they mourned over Abner, and Abner was a prince among men, David said. And David said, why died Abner as a fool dieth, as a noble dieth? And you know, when you look at that whole situation with Abner, did you not know that Abner was right in a city of refuge? And then he allowed Joab, folk who should not be trusted, to call him away from the gate and then slew him. They couldn't have touched him within the gates of the city at Hebron, but he came out. So Abner died like a noble, as a fool dieth. My friends, I think as Christians, we ought not to die like fools. Amen. We ought to try to die the death of a righteous and not have to die as a fool dieth. What about the egotistical fool? Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15. Proverbs 12 and verse number 15. What kind of fool is this?
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but what?
But he that hearkeneth unto his counsel is wise.
This word fool is the word evil. It means silly, hardened, and thick-headed. His way is right, and he refuses to be instructed by others. Raise your hand if no one can tell you anything. Not going to get any hands today, though there's some of you fools out there, right? You see, but no one can tell you anything. That's what this kind of fool, he's silly, thick-headed. And when we start saying, we say stubborn-hearted, so strong-willed, no one can tell you anything. People who know you best are always frustrated with you. Why? Because you won't listen to sound reason. Can't nobody convince you to do what is right. Can't nobody get you off of your path to destruction. And every time someone loves you, try to tell you what's right, you will not hear of it. That's a fool. An egotistical fool. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Paul's condemnation of the Gentiles is still true of man today in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 22. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. They became wise in their own conceits. The plain truth of being of God would not content them. They thought themselves to be above this. My friends, listen. There are some folks that believe they already got it all figured out. Let me say this. When you get to the point when no one can tell you anything, you become the enemy of God's advice and his knowledge. I may never call you a fool, but the fact still remains that you are a fool. To believe that one can navigate himself throughout this life without God's help, that person's a fool. To believe that one can direct his own path without God is a fool. In Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, there is a way of the man that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah was saying in chapter 10:23, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. My friends, Solomon was crying out as if talking to his sons in Proverbs 1:22. He said, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in the scorning? And fools, he says, hate knowledge. My friend, an egotistical fool is one who will not be instructed by others. They think they already got it figured out. They are going to live right out of their own head, right out of their own mind. Does this represent you? I mean, listen, get in where you fit in while we're going through them. Don't you let this go by, because what I'm saying is, if you came in here full, you don't have to leave out one. You can change that today. You better believe that when I study these fools and things of that nature, I'm trying to find out if I'm a fool. Because I may come across myself at some point, and the only thing that means is that Greg got to repent. Boy, I got to stop that. I got to change that. I didn't even realize I was being a fool. I was playing the fool. I heard a song in the 70s, I believe, said everybody plays the fool sometimes. And there was no exceptions to the rule. Listen, baby. Everybody. But let me tell you something. We might have played the fool, but we don't have to. We got the word of God that will prevent us from being a fool. How about the rich fool? Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And notice verse number 20.
But God said unto him, thou fool.
Hold it right there. That word is the word aphron. Thou fool. That means mindless, stupid, by implication ignorant, specifically egotistical, practically rash, morally unbelieving. That's what kind of fool this is. Now, Jesus is using the illustration in this parable to teach a lesson in verse 15. Go back to verse number 15 and notice what he's trying to teach here.
And he said unto them,
take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, this is the lesson he's trying to teach. Read.
For
a man's life consisted not in what? And the abundance of things which he possesses. Boy, don't you wish that Jesus could come here today and teach that lesson? Because isn't that the lesson by which all struggle today? Don't we believe in some way, shape, or form that this stuff gives us status? Isn't that what folks still believe today? Are folks still out there trying to search for the good life? Believing that things is going to make them happy and all those kind of things? Wasn't Jesus teaching some wonderful doctrine? Go back and read Luke chapter 12 and listen at what Jesus was teaching and notice the audience there and notice this brother that interrupts the Lord and says, Lord, tell my brother to share with me the inheritance. Where's your mind when Jesus is doing all this good teaching? You see, if your mind is not on the things that we're teaching today, that's on you. I'm teaching. But when the Lord was teaching, we know he had it right. You may disagree with me at some point, but when the Lord was teaching, he was teaching right. He was teaching things that was going to lead to eternal life. And this boy is worried about the inheritance. Jesus then takes time to teach a lesson. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Now, the life of the soul does not depend on material possessions of this world. The things of the world will not suit the nature of the soul. The things of the world will not supply the needs of the soul. The things of the world will not satisfy the desires of the soul. So the character God gave to him is, thou fool. Now, we may never call that man a fool. We may never call you a fool. But the facts still remain that God said, he's a fool. And he was a fool. He was a noble. Remember? Noble is his name, and folly is with him. The sentence God gave on him is that this night thy soul is required of thee. You're going to have to now give an account of the stewardship of thy soul. Now, brothers and sisters, let me ask you this, because we may be fools. If you were called tonight and you had to give an account for your soul this very night, what would you do? Would you be prepared to give account of the stewardship of your soul? You see, anyone who's not prepared to give an account of the stewardship of their soul now, this night, is a fool. Why? Because they are ready to give an account of the things of the body. There are not many of us who are not taking care of ourselves. He was providing for all of his material needs. The man said, I have many goods stored up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What? He didn't recognize tomorrow you die. It just happened to be that night. But he had prepared for the provisions of the soul. Had God called him into account of his body, he was ready. Give an account of your body. What have you done with it? Are you taking care of it? Yes, Lord, I've planted me all kinds of gardens, and I've stored up goods, and I've put them in my warehouses. And you know what? I stored up so good, Lord, I didn't have enough room, so I tore down my barns. I done put greater barns up, and now I'm storing all my goods in there. Lord, I'm ready for years to come. Should any drought come, I'm ready. Should anything happen, I'm ready. I done take care of the needs of my body. But the Lord did not call him to give an account of the things of his body. That's not what he called it. He said, this night, thy soul is required. Now, you see those definitions? Listen, you were mindless, stupid, and ignorant regarding the needs of the soul. Oh, he fits this definition well. You were egotistical in thinking you had it all figured out. Oh man, he made provisions. He was ready. Got all those things together. Put all those stuff in the bars. He was ready. He thought he had it all figured out. Egotistical. Nobody gonna tell him that he hadn't got it right. Had a foolproof plan for the future. He thought he had goods that should be his for many years. But this night, he must depart from those goods. And now, it's over. He thought he should enjoy his goods for himself. But this night, he must leave those goods for another. This is the night when the provisions of the soul was required. Listen, if you lay up nothing for the soul's future, then your soul has no future. Amen. With everything going on now with the economy and what they're doing over there a few clicks away from us in Washington, you know that place. Where it all goes down. You got folk on pins and needles, right? Because if we get to the point we can't pay our debt, then we're gonna really see the economy fall, right? You know why it's got folks shaking up? Because Social Security? Boy, how long can I live off what I put back? And if things go terribly wrong and folk don't have no money, then you better get some bars on your windows and doors, because folk gonna start robbing, stealing, killing, all this kind of stuff. So we got some potential problems, right? Because so many folks' whole entire existence is wrapped up in this life. And if your entire existence is wrapped up in this life, you ought to be scared to death. You ought to be very afraid. But we know something else. We know that this life is not all there is. That there is something beyond this life of which we should prepare. Well, if you lay up nothing for the future of the soul, then the soul has no future. You see, he laid up treasure for the world he was in, but not the one to which he was supposed to be going. Philippians 3:20 says to the Christian, Paul writes to Philippians, he says, who was a Roman colony, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven. My friends, Peter even presents us as pilgrims. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, I beseech ye, beloved, the strangers and pilgrims, we are only passing through. Paul says our true citizenship is in heaven. So why would we lay up for only things in this life and not lay up beyond this life for the provisions of the soul? Your plan planned well, you provided well, you was diligent in your providing for the things of the body, but this night, your soul is required. Question, did you plan well? Did you provide well? And were you diligent in providing for the things of the soul? Boy, what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 26 certainly fits here. For what is a man profited? If he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My friends, you have to be a fool to put all your eggs in the basket of the body and then put nothing in that basket for the soul. That's a fool. Whenever you find worldly people, carnal people, fleshly people, those people are fools. You know why? Because they're concerned about the here and now, the things of the world. That's why they're worldly. They're concerned about the carnal things. They're concerned about the fleshly things, gratifying and satisfying their appetite, whatever makes them feel good. That's all they're concerned about. Those are fools, my friends, and some of you have them as your friends. Amen, somebody. You see, you friend up with a fool because you don't identify them the way the Bible identifies them. I'm trying to find out who these fools are and try to go away from the presence of a fool. Why? Because sometimes, my friend, they'll lead you away. Brother Bob has told me that when y'all go silent like this, y'all are listening. I believe Brother Bob. I believe him. So I take it that y'all are listening, but I'm going to go ahead and preach this anyway, whether you say amen or not, because I know it's right. And you know what? For those, especially for our young people, listen, some of our older folks are already fools, been fools a long time. I understand that. But our young folks, listen, you just getting started. You don't have to go through life playing the fool. You can get it together right now. You can change right now. Let's go to the prating fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. And verse number 8, the prating fool. Go ahead and read.
The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall.
The prating fool, also verse number 10, is again the word evil. It means silly, hardened, and thick-headed. A prating fool is one who does not stop talking long enough to learn anything. They are full of talk and nonsense. In the Proverbs, needless talk is often associated with folly. Notice Proverbs 18 and verse number 2. I want to show you the double trouble of a fool. The double trouble of a fool. Proverbs 18, 2. How does it read?
A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself.
Now, the double trouble of a fool is his closed mind and his open mouth. That's double trouble. When your mind is so closed that no one can help get anything in there, and your mouth is so open that you can't hear anything anybody else is saying because you're always talking, my friends, you got double trouble. And that's a fool. He has no intentions of gaining knowledge. He only wants to share his views and his opinions. He loves, or she, to hear him or herself talk. You ever talk to someone, can't get a word in edgewise? It's almost like they're so waiting on you to stop talking so they can get, it's like they're doing like this, like double dutch. They just waiting on you to stop talking just long so they can jump in. They don't hear what you said. A fool. Let me show you the results of a prating fool. Look at chapter 18 and notice verse 6 and verse number 7. Watch this.
And his mouth calleth for strokes.
Never seen a good old argument he didn't like. Or she. I'm using he in generic. I don't want you sisters to take this off. You might be saying, oh yeah, he. No, no, generically, he, she. All of us. Never seen a good old argument they didn't like. Always in an argument. Always in contentions. Always quarreling. They will often advance foolish notions which are opposed by others just to begin the quarrel. You will know them. Let me show you. See, because once again, some of y'all are fooled by the fact that folk come in here. See, when you see them every Sunday, you don't identify them as a fool. But I believe the Bible. I know what a fool looked like. A fool And if you guilty, just repent. Don't get mad at me. A fool is one who will come in your Bible classes and who will always throw out some foolishness just to get the argument going, and then a back up and take and just glory in it. I didn't wrestle to learn. Didn't come here to learn. They came here to teach from their seat and start some foolishness. You don't have to back it up. Amen, Greg. I know it's right. I've been too many places and seen too many folk like that. They are fools. They're always starting something. They're always arguing. They're always throwing stuff out there. Sometimes they say, I just want to play devil's advocate. Why does the devil need us to be an advocate for the devil? You're about to throw some foolishness out here and you say, I'm just playing devil's advocate. No, this is what you believe, bro. They are prating fools because their mouths often get them in trouble. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. You notice he says sometimes they deserve stripes. Oh yeah, deserve stripes. How many times have you been with people in times past and you said, you know what, you ought to be quiet, your mouth gonna get you in trouble? How many times have folks gotten into fights and things like that and folk got themselves hurt? Why? Because they were talking too much. Prating fools. And sometimes you say the wrong thing and someone responds to you in violence. Why? Because your mouth called it for strokes. Exactly what it deserved. And that's what it got. Verse 7.
A fool's mouth is his destruction.
Yes, sir.
And his lips are the snare of his soul.
And you know, eventually that mouth that has been the destruction for others will prove to be destruction, his own destruction in the end. Matthew 12:36-37, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. All them words that that prating fool has been used to hurt others will eventually hurt himself. The prating fool lacks honor. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 3.
It is an honor for a man to cease from strife.
Listen.
The
honor is not in answering every affront or every assault or every insult just because you believe you are right. Question. Somebody does something that could make you mad. Question. Do you have to get mad? I know they did it, but do you have to go there? Sometimes we wait and we take advantage of, oh, they done did it now. Oh, so you have to go there? That's right. I'm going to do this by myself. I'm just going to do this by myself. It's on tape. I'll listen to it later because. But I know why it's quiet, because this is where we live. And what we're trying to do is, if we discover what God describes as a fool, I don't want to be a fool before God. That's why I'm telling you this. But I don't want you to be a fool. And it could be that if we're ignorant of these things, we've been the fool. We've been playing the fool for quite some time. And it's time to stop. Amen. And if we find out that this is what God considers a fool, then I don't want to be that. In putting this lesson together, I reminded myself of a few things. Made me pull back on a couple of things. Now, I've examined myself. How about you? The honor is not in answering or barking, if you will, at every dog that barks at you. The honor is in ceasing from the strife, forgiving the assaults, overlooking the injury. Look at Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but what does a prudent man do? But a prudent man covereth shame. A fool's wrath is presently known. When a fool is annoyed, perhaps by being insulted, he will immediately show it. That's what I was talking about. Oh, I'm ready. You hear what she said to me? Oh, I heard you've been talking about me. Let me go ahead and deal with this now. I'm going to nip this while but I'm not the one. But listen, a fool's wrath is presently known. When a fool is annoyed, even when the other person is at fault, even when the other person has insulted, even when the other person has assaulted, they will immediately show it because they believe they must respond. That's what a fool does. Listen, folk have gotten on me for not responding when folks are assaulting me. Imagine that. But you know what? I read this stuff. And I believe in giving folk a long piece of rope. By the time we go for your head, I want it so far on the chopping block. There is no mistaking that that's what it is. But we will give you plenty of time and plenty of rope to go ahead and hang yourself. We are not going to respond to you immediately because you assault us or in some kind of way personally. You know, when the Lord was assaulted personally, he didn't even respond. When they insulted the Holy Spirit, the Lord responded. When they insulted the Father, the Lord responded. But when they insulted him personally, the Lord didn't respond. He was like a sheep taken to the slaughter and was dumb before his shearers. Let me show you that by a man named David. Look at Psalm 38. See, a wise man will cover. He will overlook. It's not so much that he necessarily ignores it every time, but he controls his response to it. Can you think through it and control your response as to how you're going to deal with it? Or like a fool, will your anger, wrath be presently known as you react immediately? You're thinking about that? Read Psalm 38 and look at verse 12 through 14.
They also that seek after my life lay snares for me.
Uh-huh.
And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceit all the day long.
Yes, sir.
But I, as a deaf man.
I, as a what?
Deaf man.
As a deaf man. Why are you hearing everything? I've seen some sisters who can be in one conversation and hear what's going on over there. I've seen it, literally seen it. Not long ago, someone did that. I said, how are you in that conversation? You heard what was just said over here. Hold on. I hear everything. I know what y'all saying and stuff like that. Oh, and then by the way, we back. I was scared to talk. Because we was talking about her. And she heard it. Then checked us. Went right back to her conversation. This happened in Atlanta. The sister in here now. I'm not going to tell who she is, but boy, I tell her that's something. I just asked, how do you hear that over there? You in a conversation. Why are you hearing everything? I hear everything somebody say about me. I know how y'all talk. Sometimes we get it wrong. Oh, you talking about me? No, I'm going to talk about you. Oh. David said he became dumb. People say, did you know they were doing this? Did you know they were saying this? Did you know they was talking about you like this? I'm like, yeah, I heard it. I'm a preacher. I always get talked about. Good, bad, or indifferent. I understand. Look how many people out here. Look, not at me. Look how many people out here. Now, if you look at all many people out here, everybody got an opinion about something, don't they? Now, many of y'all got opinions about me. It's all right. Some good. Some maybe not so good. But it's all right. I don't care. I don't have time to get caught up in that. I don't want to know everything. I don't even want somebody to come tell me, Brother Jimmy, you know they saying this about you. Okay. Look, I got work to do. I can't get caught up in that. In other words, I learned that from David. I learned that from Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Hey, if you got something to say about me and you want to keep it to yourself, that's fine. I'll leave that between you and the Lord. If you want me to know it, come tell me. We'll talk about it. Other than that, I can't be thinking about that and allowing that stuff to affect me, because it'll stop me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Once I start getting down and out and worried about, man, I'm trying to do the best I can, and they just, you know, listen, all that stuff will affect the greatest of us. But sometimes, and if we can, we just need to try to be dumb to some of it as best we can. Let's stop trying to hear everything that's being said about you. David said, I was dumb, read.
As a deaf man.
I heard not. And I was as a dumb man
that opened not
his mouth. He kept his temper and was not discomposed by the things that they were saying and doing to him. But a prating fool can never attain to it. Let me say a couple more things, and then the sermon is yours. Let me show you the foolish wise and the wise fool. Proverbs 17:28 shows us the foolish wise. How does that read? Proverbs 17 and verse number 28.
Even a fool.
When he holdeth his peace.
Is counting wise.
He can be a fool. He's still a fool. But you can be a wise fool. One does not have to tell his entire mind. You know, there's some folks who are always ready to give folk a piece of their mind. And some are fond of saying, listen to me, find yourself if you can. Oh, I just speak my mind. I just say what's on my mind. I just tell it like it is. I'll let you know about me. Have y'all ever met these people? They exist. They do exist. And they'll tell you, they're proud of it too. Oh, I just speak my mind. I just tell what's on my mind. I just tell it like it is. I don't hold nothing back. Speak my mind. Question. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you shouldn't? That maybe you shouldn't speak your mind? That maybe you shouldn't just tell everything? That maybe you shouldn't just say whatever comes into your head? Look, the only time a fool can be considered wise is when he shuts up. You see that? Shh. That's the only time a fool can be wise. And that presents a dilemma. Because, see, you're a fool who thinks he's wise when you're not. But the only way you can be considered wise is to stop doing the very thing that you love to do, and that's talking. So how does a fool become wise? The only way to become wise is shut up. You know, if you keep quiet, the folks who did not know you were a fool still won't know it. But when you open your mouth and start talking, then everybody who did know you were a fool now knows you're a fool. The wise fool, 1 Corinthians 3:18.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise.
One is in danger of deceiving himself when he has too much regard for his own opinions and human wisdom. To become wise, one must become a fool. He must become sensible to his own ignorance. He must forsake his own direction. He must become distrusting to his own understanding and not lean on it. In Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When one learns that the wisdom of this world is foolishness, then he is prepared to accept the wisdom of God. Amen. The person who resigns his own understanding that he may follow the instruction of God is a wise fool who has found the way to everlasting true wisdom. When one is wise after this world, he stands as a fool before God. And when one is wise after God, he stands as a fool before this world. So the only time you can be a good fool is when you're a fool for God. It's when you love him, trust him, and you're willing to obey him. Then and only then can you be fooled in a good sense. Other than that, if you're going to be a fool by the world standard, then the only way you can be considered wise is when you shut up. Just don't say anything. You're still a fool. But at least you'll be a wise one, because no one will know it. My friends, we don't want to be that kind of fool. We want to be the kind of fool that the world thinks you're a fool because you actually believe in God. We want to be the kind of fool that the world considers you to be a fool because you actually are willing to obey God. We want to be the kind of fools that the world believes us to be because we actually believe that this came from God. And we want to be the kind of fools that the world thinks we are because we're actually willing to put it on the line and obey this. That we're actually willing to walk according to the scripture. That we're actually willing to live for God. That we're actually willing to deny ourselves. That we're actually willing to put our fellow man before ourselves. That we actually believe this really means something. That we actually believe that there is a heaven to go to and a hell to shun. You see, we actually believe this. The world thinks we're fools. One A-lister, actor Brad Pitt, said that he don't believe there is a God because he cannot conceive of a concept of a God who wants everybody to praise him. He said it seems like this God that everybody believes in has an ego. That you ought to praise him and adore him, and if you don't, he'll send you to hell. He said, that makes no sense to me, so I can't go with that. Well, I know where Mr. Brad Pitt is heading. So Brad Pitt would think I'm a fool for believing that there is a God in heaven that should be praised, that should be adored, that does deserve everything that we owe to him. And we can never repay him for what he's done. Now, my friends, Brad Pitt is a fool. And you a fool if you don't believe that God is in heaven and that he sent his son Jesus and that his son died for you because he loved you and that he wanted to save you from your sins and that he wants you to love him enough to respond to him in obedience and he wants you to live for him and stop leaning to your own wisdom and understanding and follow his way. You got to be a fool to do it any other way. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess his name, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to be buried behind this screen is water. It's warm. It's ready. Heaven is ready. Luke 15. The church is ready. Question is, are you ready to give your life to Christ? If you're willing to submit to baptism so that your sins might be washed away, then, my friends, you're ready. We have an invitation song giving you an opportunity to come and give your life to Christ. I'll be standing down here. Brother Craig will stand there. So we'll have two brothers standing down here ready to receive you. If you will, get out of your seat and come give your life to Christ today. Get a new start. Don't be a fool, but be wise. You come back tonight, we'll show you some other fools, and then we'll show you the contrast to the fool, which is what we need. You need to respond to the invitation. Come down as we stand and sing the invitation song. When we walk with the